You and me, MBPD. Season 3, Episode 8. Conversation with Allison. Favorite person continued. Hi, welcome to this very special episode. Today, we're going to be continuing on talking about favorite person relationships, how to navigate it, and some of the various ways that people kind of handle the crises that can come from this type of relationship and the ups and downs. Today, I'm joined by Allison. I found Allison's article titled, "To Those Who Don't Understand My Favorite Person Relationship," when I was researching for my own episode about favorite person, the favorite person phenomenon. And I asked Allison to come onto the podcast so that we could just kind of explore a little bit more about what this favorite person phenomenon really is. Allison also is a co-host of a podcast called Not Enough Spoons, which aims to destigmatize mental health topics. So I thought that Allison would be a really great guest to bring on and just kind of explore a little bit more about her experiences with a favorite person and how this kind of relationship can differ from the average relationship that we might experience. So I'm so thankful for Allison for coming onto the podcast, and I'll hand it over to her to do a little bit of an introduction, if you will.
Hi, I'm Allison. Just going to warn you, if you hear some crinkling, I'm diabetic and my blood just went low, so I'm going to deal with that while we talk.
Sorry.
So, one second and the rustling will stop and then I'll be good to go. Okay, we're good. Sorry, my blood went low and I'm like, oh no, we're in the middle of recording. But you know what? Sometimes that's just how life works.
Yep. Allison lives on the other side of Canada from me. So this is being recorded not in person. So if there's anything that kind of pops up, just so you know. but yeah. So Allison, just really quickly, can you just tell the listeners, I guess, what your kind of experience has been with a favorite person? Do you have one currently? Who would you consider that to be? Have you had one in the past?
Yeah, so I had a favorite person before I knew what BPD was, before I knew what a favorite person was, and it was a pretty toxic relationship. We were in a romantic relationship together, and not saying our relationship was toxic, but the favorite person thing was.
Yeah.
Because I had no clue what it was. But I do currently have one. It's my best friend, and it is probably as healthy as a favorite person relationship can be.
Yeah, so when did you first kind of hear about this? Because I only really learned about the term early in 2020, so it's relatively new to me.
Yeah, it would have been about 2019 for me. That's also when I was diagnosed with BPD. So it was probably a couple months after that I discovered what a favorite person was and connected with it really heavily with my best friend.
Mm-hmm. And so from your kind of experience or your, from your own relationship, what would you say differs the most from kind of just having a best friend to having a best friend that is your favorite person?
The needing constant reassurance. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need that in any other relationship in my life. I mean, I do a little bit with my wife, but it's not the same. But like the constant reassurance, the constant thinking she's mad at me. She never is.
Yeah.
That's kind of the main difference. Just the extra strong bond.
Okay. Yeah. So, when you are with your favorite person, right? Mm-hmm. Do you find that your, like, what I've been hearing from people is they find that there is a lot of like kind of hyper vigilance of how people are interacting with others, and kind of a lot of jealousy that can come out of those interactions. Do you find that you experience any of those, or that, you know, how would you kind of navigate that type of social situation that you might find yourself in?
Yeah, definitely. I find I've gotten a lot better with it, but I used to get like irrationally upset when she would hang out with someone else, and like she got into a relationship, and that kind of felt like the end of the world for me for a while.
Mm-hmm. So kind of from that perspective, do you find that you're able to explain to your best friend like what a favorite person is, like, or did you find that you had to have a conversation with her about kind of like what was going on with you? Like, how did you kind of navigate that space?
Yeah, so I found out about favorite person actually at a BPD support group.
Okay.
And she often came with me. Just to be extra support, she often came with me, but she didn't come that night. She had plans for whatever reason. So I texted her about it. I'm like, yeah, so we just found out about this. And she's like, yeah, so I'm your favorite person, right? I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So she kind of knew from
as soon as I explained the concept, she knew.
Okay. And you mentioned that you're also married. So do you find that the same person as the person that you're married to?
No.
Okay, so do you think that impacts your, like, further relationships outside of your kind of favorite person relationship?
Not really. I think we navigate it really well. Like, my wife does know that sometimes I need reassurance from my favorite person before I need reassurance from her, and she totally gets that. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't say it really impacts our relationship a lot. She's very respectful of it.
Oh, okay. That's so nice. That's awesome that you have that kind of...
I really lucked out with the relationships in my life.
Yeah. So have you found that, thinking back to, you said that you were in a favorite person relationship that was a little bit more toxic.
Mm-hmm.
How did you navigate? Even. Sorry?
Not on purpose, even. Like, it was just, I was extra attached to her and didn't know why, and she kind of took advantage of it a little bit, and definitely unconsciously, but it definitely, I can see where the favorite person relationship went wrong there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people experience that, where it kind of becomes codependent in a way.
Yes.
This kind of like incessant need to have this other person around you that can end up becoming somewhat manipulative or kind of somewhat overwhelming for somebody who might not understand.
Definitely. My, like, how needy I was definitely overwhelmed her.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of us knew what to do with that.
Yeah. So kind of thinking about when you were in that, how did you find that you were able to, were you able to manage kind of your own emotional reactions to things? Because I think that's the main thing I get questions about, is people saying, how do I handle this person? Like, this person is angry with me, or this person is upset with something that I'm doing, and it feels like it's the end of the world.
Definitely, I did have to manage it back then. And it was hard, and I didn't do a very good job of it, but I didn't even know I had BPD back then. Like, I look back on everything, I'm like, oh, I could have handled that so much better. I find it's a bit of a non-issue currently because my favorite person is almost never mad at me, but I do tend to kind of fall to pieces when she is.
Mm-hmm. It's very, from what I mean, I think that I've experienced that when I was younger, like also similar to you, before I was ever diagnosed, I would say that I would have had a favorite person. But I guess maybe it's just because I'm so independent just in everything I do. I found that I pushed my favorite person away. And I did a lot more kind of like testing of just like, okay, how far can I push this person?
I definitely did that in the beginning. Yeah, I don't do that anymore, but I've come a long way in the past 3 years. But I definitely tested my favorite person in the beginning of our relationship. Not the beginning of our relationship, but the beginning of me knowing she was my favorite person. And like seeing how far I could test her, what I could do and still have her come back. Like, it was not a great situation, but she called me out on it and honestly got a lot better from there.
So how would you, if you were to talk to somebody, like how would you kind of, what advice would you give them for if they did want to kind of talk to someone and say, hey, you are my favorite person, and would you have any sort of, I guess, ways that they could talk about it or ways that they could kind of explain it so that it doesn't make that other person kind of feel that overwhelming sense? Because I think that's what people worry about a lot is how do I tell this person that they are my favorite person?
That's so hard. I think it's so dependent on your relationship with the person. If you don't have a very good relationship with the person, they might use it to manipulate you. If you have a really awesome relationship with the person and they're super understanding, they might be like, okay, cool, how can I help you?
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm always kind of like taken aback when people message me about it, because it's like I feel like it's so dependent on how people are. Like, some people say my favorite person is someone I've known my whole life, and then other people say my favorite person is someone I met once and I can't stop thinking about them and I just constantly need to be around them. And it's like, it's really hard in a sense, because I feel like it's dependent on
case to case basis, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what would you say, are there any benefits? Can you see anything, like any good parts of having a favorite person?
I mean, I guess one of the good parts is it's definitely made our relationship stronger. I feel like it's kind of nice having a person that you know will always cheer you up. But, which, again, case by case basis, not every favorite person does that. Mine happens too. Like,
yeah.
So that's an upside of my relationship, but she's very much a calming presence, and like if I'm upset, she doesn't even know what she does. She claims she doesn't do anything, but just she has this way of calming me down that no one else does. And honestly, like, my wife is starting to develop it too.
That's awesome.
Like, sounds she's like you're in no really... way my favorite person, thank God. But like, she does have that way of calming me down as well. That I don't know what they do, but it works.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now that you've kind of, you've kind of, like, I took from your your article that you wrote, to kind of understand a little bit more. So I don't know if you kind of pay attention to social media and borderline personality, but it seems to be growing in like popularity. I'm finding that a lot of people who have never heard about BPD are suddenly exploring a little bit more and trying to kind of understand what it means. So Do you think that there, do you think that there are any characteristics that people might want to maybe look out for? Maybe they don't know if they have a favorite person, or they're kind of on the fence about, oh, this person might be my favorite person. Can you think of anything that might be kind of like something that they should keep in mind about, oh, potentially this person might end up becoming your favorite person, or it might end up becoming a favorite person relationship?
That's really interesting, because I've never known about a favorite person at the beginning of a FP relationship.
Okay.
Because, like, when my current favorite person, when I figured out she was my favorite person, we'd already been friends for years.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just new, it was like the development of the relationship.
Yeah, it kind of went from the one person to another person without me even realizing it. Now, I can't even pinpoint when it changed.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like, I think as I knew my relationship was ending, the FP portion jumped ship and clung on to my best friend.
Oh, all right. All right. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint it. I'm really curious, like, when it happened and, like, what the signs were. All of a sudden, it just happened. And then that would have been in, like, 2018. And then in 2019, when I found out what a favorite person was, I'm like, oh, so that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, because I find that sometimes, like, I'm always really amazed when I hear, like, I spend a lot of time on TikTok, right? And so I'll watch videos of people explaining, like, oh, I know this person is becoming my favorite person. And I can't relate to that. Maybe it's just I'm not as aware, but I feel like I don't have a favorite person, at least not right now. And I think that there's maybe a misunderstanding that people think to have borderline personality disorder, you have to have a favorite person.
Definitely not.
No, that's not true, at least in my experience. Yeah. I've met many people who don't have a favorite person. what was the other? There's one other question. Oh, yeah. So now that you've kind of been making your own podcasts about mental health and things, have you found that talking about, you know, your favorite person relationship, borderline personality disorder, whatever other mental health issues you talk about, do you find that it's made you kind of more aware of when things might be going into a crisis and how to handle this type of crisis that might come up? Or you did mention, well, we were talking a little bit about, like, jealousy and things like that. So do you find that you're a little bit more kind of mindful of how you are interacting with your favorite person, or how your kind of mood is when you're seeing them, things that might be triggering to you?
Yeah. I feel like we were podcasting because we took a break.
Okay.
That accidentally turned into a 2-year-long break. So we started in 2019, we were going good, we got into 2020, the pandemic happened, and we kind of just stopped. So I feel like things have changed since then. So definitely at the time the podcasting was helping, but then we stopped and new things happened. My favorite person got into a relationship. That was a whole new thing to discover, because she hadn't been in one, and all of a sudden she was, and that was very different for me. All of a sudden, not that I wasn't sharing her before, because, like, she has tons of friends, like, she has her own life, like,
yeah,
it's not like we're each other's only friend, but, like, I was sharing her in a different way.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So definitely, that's why I wanted to get back into podcasting, even if it isn't my own podcast, which we will start up again someday. But definitely, like, talking about it on your podcast, I want to see how much that helps, right? Even though I feel like I've gotten over the hurdle, like the relationship doesn't bother me anymore. Not that it ever bothered me, but it used to make me spiral a little bit. It hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah.
So, like, I've definitely kind of come out of that.
Yeah.
But it definitely makes me more aware, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, from... The main reason why I wanted to talk to you is because, like, I don't really have a lot of experience, right? Mm-hmm. And I find that when I don't have a lot of experience with something, I find it better to talk to somebody who does have experience and to kind of see how they might answer questions. Because fundamentally, every person with borderline personality disorder is different, right? We all have our different tendencies, we all have our different relationships, and especially when it comes to a favorite person relationship, I've seen some people where it is their partner and it seems really workable, and then I've seen other people where they say that it's just the most horrible thing and they don't want a favorite person and they don't know how to kind of stop having this type of relationship. Mm-hmm. So I find that it's just very interesting to me, the kind of varieties of people who all kind of experience this need, this kind of like longing for this other person, and this, they kind of hold this person on a pedestal in some way of just building up another individual. And that's so interesting to me because I feel like I personally don't do that very often. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting. And I mean, I find that talking about my mental health really helps me to understand it more.
Agreed.
And if I can understand it, then hopefully other people can understand their own mental health journeys and whatever that might be doing for them.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of to kind of get closer to our wrap up, like what do you find is kind of, what would you say would be helpful for people to know about, whether it's a favorite person relationship or just BPD in general? What do you find is something that let's say someone didn't know anything about borderline personality disorder or about what a favorite person was, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say my main piece of advice for something like that is know that their emotions aren't more important than yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I'm like, I feel like what she wants or feels is way more important than what I want or feel. And I do that with lots of relationships in my life, but like, they're not more important. Like, mm-hmm. you need to take care of yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. I'm hearing that and I'm like, I can agree with that. Well, thank you so much for being on this episode.
Thank you.
I know that you're not really making podcast episodes right now, but what else are you doing? Are you working? Like, just a little bit about you.
I what do I do? I feel like I'm still in pandemic mode and I don't do anything.
I get that. I relate.
I go to work. I work as a facilities assistant at a financial authority.
Cool.
Not very exciting. I'm a receptionist. I like my job. That's about all I do. Hang out with my friends. I love to knit and crochet. I love animals. I love going to the movies.
Cool.
I'm obsessed with musicals, and I've been listening to the Six soundtrack on repeat. And if anyone hasn't heard of Six, go look it up.
Oh my god, legit, that's, sorry, this is a tangent, but that is legit my whole life right now. I've listened to the Six. I could do a whole podcast episode just about musicals, but it has nothing to do with BPD. But actually, you know what? I bet you there's something out there that I'm sure that there's some research.
If you can link BPD to musicals, please have me back on your podcast.
I'm sure there's something out there about some type of the way our brain works has to do with music or something. I'm sure there's something out there about that. Do you want to mention, it's up to you, do you want to mention your Instagram or anything else that you might want to? I did mention you're the host of Not Enough Spoons. I know you guys have an Instagram page, and do you have a website for that?
We don't have a website, but okay. We are on all the social media platforms, sort of. We've been super inactive. Let me just look up fun. What our Instagram even is. Our Instagram is Not Enough Spoons Podcast.
Okay,
cool. That's the one we were the most active on. We also have a Facebook and a Twitter. You can find it by just searching Not Enough Spoons. My personal Instagram, I'll throw out because I'm actually active on it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Allison Ricard. I don't always post about mental illness, but I post sometimes. Yeah, usually about musicals.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time I'm constantly struggling with social media and trying to figure out what is the best way. I'm like, do I post about my depression or do I post about looking at the clouds today? I don't know. We'll see.
Let me just spell my handle for you, because I just realized that no one's going to be able to spell that because I have a weird name. It is AlicenRicard.
Cool. I will also put that in the description of this episode.
Sounds great.
So if anybody wants to find you, they can message you and say, hey, I heard you on Steph's podcast.
Please do. I love getting messages.
I know, so do I. It's always so nice to get just a little message from someone being like, I really liked your podcast. And it's like, oh, okay, thanks.
I know, I still get messages about that article I wrote, and it makes me happy every time.
Yeah, it's a good article.
Thank you.
If anyone wants to read it, I did post it on my stories on my Instagram, but I'll also link it underneath here in the description box for anybody who wants to look that up. But yeah, that's about it. We've kind of reached the end, and I'm so thankful again, Allison, for you to come on and have a conversation. I think it's really cool to connect with other people who talk about their mental health, and kind of to continue talking about things that, you know, other people might not feel as comfortable talking about.
Totally.
Takes a lot of us to kind of stand up and say, we're not afraid of it, we're not ashamed of it, we're just gonna continue to have conversations. So I thank you once again. And to you who are listening, I am so thankful for you giving us your time. As always, you can reach out my Instagram, you can reach out to Allison. I hope you know that whatever type of favorite person relationship you might be in, completely valid. And, you know, sometimes they're productive and sometimes they can become toxic. And I hope that, you know, a support system is very important for you on this mental health journey, because we can't do things alone. We have to have people around us to support us through every step of the way. Because that's just kind of how life is. We can't live and exist by ourselves. We need people who are going to be there and who are going to help us through whatever we have to go through. So I'm so thankful once again. And yeah, that's about it. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.